Blog Talk Radio.
Feels good to be ways. I've been on a year and it feels good to be on your way so I could talk sports with all guys who love sports just like me. It's been a lot happened in this time gone. We have, of course, the New England Patriots from the 2020 title. You have the Houston Astros in the World Series. You have my childhood team for Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Floyd leaving that octagon, that ring, million, leaving with $100 million. And that's actually talk. Maybe about getting into the octagon and how that can go on. I wasn't in the octagon. I don't agree. So please stay out of it. But the rookies, for the year, I'm going to tell you, I think should be a comeback at me, who you think should be rookie there. We've also got to talk. And, you know, you guys want to talk about the sport. You know, you don't just have the topics that I throw out. You can go your own. You know, talk about baseball. You want to talk about what's going on, you know, in hockey or whatever. I do a little bit of info on hockey. I'm not, you know, average with hockey nowadays. I'm more action. But it's all what I talk about. That's a lot of lover. And I've got to, you know, be dang. Okay, lost the job. So, as I talk about this, rookie of the year in the NBA edition, and you call in your opinion. You think rookie of the year? There's a lot going on right now. A lot of playoffs. Big games are about to appear in a few weeks. All these NFL teams are going to be going super. So starting to get out, getting thick, where I believe that he's starting. Chances at NBA, he had two kids over to Lithuania to play basketball. It's like how 19-year-old Leanne's got trouble in China, sending him back overseas. And then you 16-year-old brother LaMelo Ball, the top seven, basically screwing up. So I understand what LaMelo is. You know, it seems like he's a good father. I want, like, a good dad, but it don't seem right. We'll call on lunches. What's going on? This is a chat with T.Y. Oh, that caller dropped again. Break, and then we're going to go back, and we're going to talk about the NBA rookies. Get with you guys.
Boy, misunderstood, same dollar, huh? They peeped away.
way I'm wired, it ain't quite what they accustomed to. Come for what I earn, and I won't accept a substitute. So persistent with it, I'm a little bugaboo. Never let nobody pick and choose when they loving you. Play the cracks by habit, that's the position that I didn't master. Exercise my mind, if they got questions, I got answers. Stand and scrape the sky, cause my antenna's up like antlers. Drive my nuts like an OG, got hair on them, surrestless. I'm really from the streets, but I don't look the part. Pressure on me, feel the heat, I don't take it to the heart. I be showing love for free, by design, this is art. High or low, I keep it G, been that way from the start. I hang around older cats to stimulate my mental. 5 years in the league, to say the least, and been eventful. Greatest teams assembled, that ain't really what I'm into. They know so much about me, yet I'm still so suspenseful. I don't think I'm Nate Speed. Hate the way I speak my mind. Toes down, both feet. I'm 4x25. I don't see what they see. How the blind lead the blind. Boy, I'm like a safety. Sitting way beyond the line. I don't think I'm Nate Speed. Hate the way I speak my mind. Toes down, both feet. I'm 4x25. I don't see what they see. How the blind lead the blind. Boy, I'm like a safety.
Life is crucial like the club on Bankhead. Riding with the toaster cuz they didn't want to break bread. I heard you tried out last year and got cut. Work hard off season, come back next year and start. Yeah. No bluffing, all you talking is nothing. Falling out with no budget. Do this verse without cursing. She rather diamonds than purses. Anyone working this mediocre, we want more. 24/7 so you can see what is in store. Today was a
all right. That was my man, Portland Trailblazers. He definitely could all-star. Yeah, I really don't understand what happened. I was disconnected. Truthfully, I don't even know if I'm back on now, but I'll just continue to talk if I am. But it disconnected me. As I was saying, I want to get off into this NBA Rookie of the Year talk. In my opinion, the top five rookies are Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Kyle Kuzma, and Lauri Markkanen. Those are the top rookies right now in the NBA. And if I had to choose today, and he's actually in the clubhouse, Ben Simmons would get the Rookie of the Year right now as we speak. Because, I mean, the kid, I mean, he's no joke. He's almost averaging a triple-double. He's averaging 17.2 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 7.9 assists per game. Now, the one drawback about him is that he has no jump shot whatsoever. He has no jump shot to save his life. He's shooting 51% from the field, which is all, you know, drives to the basket. He nearly has 0% three-point land. He hasn't shot a three yet, and he doesn't shoot good as far as 15 out. His free throw percentage is like 54. That's the only drawback that Ben Simmons has in this game. But he's so young, he can work on that. A jump shot will come. For my second rookie, I have Jason Tatum. I think he's a close second. The guy's averaging 14 a game, basically 6 rebounds. He's shooting 50% from the field, and the kid is shooting 50% from three-point land. And on top of that, he's on a team that's in first place in the Eastern Conference right now. Everybody's picking Cleveland to be, you know, running away with the East. But Kyrie and that draft pick of Jason Tatum is basically, you know, putting them over the top. They're definitely going to challenge Cleveland for that spot to the finals to take on Golden State. And, yeah, I'm saying Golden State. I believe Golden State will be there when it's all said and done. I don't really care what Houston's doing. I really don't have any faith in James Harden or Chris Paul, especially James Harden. I mean, you see how he shut down in that series against the San Antonio Spurs last year where he just completely disappeared. I have no faith whatsoever in James Harden. But we have a call on the line. Let's see who this is. What's going on? This is Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Good evening. This is Lou from Jersey.
Hey, what's going on, Luke? How you doing?
First time caller, but I've heard about the show before, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
All right.
You have no faith in James Harden whatsoever?
No.
Why not? He's such a great player.
He's good as far as scoring, and I mean, he could pass the ball a little bit, but I guess my gripe with James Harden is, look, I used to be an Oklahoma City fan when he was there, and he really disappointed me in that final series against LeBron in Miami. You asked me this. Have you ever seen James Harden pass on the open shot?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay, in that finals, he was so shook against LeBron and Dwayne Wade in the crew. The man didn't shoot the ball. He was very passive. And Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant really needed his help in that series. And so I'm still disappointed at that. And then the way he showed up when they needed him most against the Spurs last year in the playoffs. I mean, I just don't have any faith in James Harden when it comes down to it. Now, you know, regular season, yeah, he'll pad the stats. You know,
right.
He's a stat stuffer. But what is he going to do when it matters most? I guess that's my gripe with James Harden.
I get it. You feel like he's choked in the playoffs.
Yes.
Well, not for nothing, but, you know, even the best, some of the best players, they do come under a lot of pressure in the playoffs. And when you go up against LeBron and company from what the season they had, you know, it might have been bound to happen. I mean, nobody was a match for anybody in the Eastern Conference last year over the Cavaliers. You had Irving, you had LeBron, you had them all together. This year isn't quite the same, but, you know, last year they were just too tough for anybody.
Yeah, I agree. But as far as this year, you know, just as last year, I don't believe anybody is going to beat the Warriors when it's all said and done. I don't believe that Houston, even with the addition of Chris Paul, I don't believe that Houston's good enough to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. Cause, you know, because once again, I believe James Harden is going to choke under pressure. And then Chris Paul, we know how great of a player he is, but he has a tendency to not show up in the playoffs also.
That's the reason
why the Clippers never made it so far. The Clippers always had a good team, but they never made it far because Chris Paul couldn't get them there.
Yeah, and now they're back to mediocre stats that they were 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they decimated with injuries, though, man. I mean, they lost Patrick Beverley. They lost Blake Griffin. Yeah. You know, basically you just have DeAndre Jordan. You have that foreign guard they drafted, Milos. I don't know his last name, but they have him. And then Danilo Gallinari is also hurt. So it's like three of their main guys are out for an extended period of time. So that's why they're struggling. But, you know, not to say that they were going to be world beaters even if all of those guys were healthy. I just, you know, as far as the West, I just don't see anybody beating Golden State. The Spurs probably have the best chance.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the reason why I don't have any faith in James Harden, man, because he hasn't proved it to me when I've seen him in the biggest moments.
I see. Now, are they your top team though? The Spurs, that is.
The Spurs? No, in the NBA right now, I'm still going with Golden State. I believe Golden State's the top team.
But I mean personally for you, I mean, who do you go for? Sorry for the misreading the question.
No worry about it. I actually root for Philadelphia 76ers, and that's because they're young, and I love Joel Embiid. I love what Ben Simmons doing. Like I was saying before, Ben Simmons, he's in my clubhouse rookie of the year right now.
Yes.
The guy's damn near averaging a triple-double. All he needs to do is develop a jump shot, and Ben Simmons is going to be unstoppable. If you want to look at it, he's a 6'10 LeBron James. He's running the point guard spot at 6'10", you know, and they're young. You know, I don't expect them to, like, be world beaters, you know. But if Joel Embiid can stay healthy, I expect them to get one of those 8 playoff spots this year. But that's my big interest, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I mean, they have turned it around. Just 2 seasons ago, they were, like, oof, pitiful. They almost broke the record for the worst ever.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, believe it or not, I believe they were tanking. You know, that's why Joel Embiid pushing that trust the process stuff. That's all they kept saying over the years why they were tanking and losing and being, the most horrible team ever. They kept saying trust the process. And then, you know, Philly, they snake bitten because their top picks always get hurt. Like right now, Markelle Fultz, their top pick, number one pick this year, the guard out of Washington, he's been hurt. They don't know when he's going to come back. Joel Embiid had to sit out a year. Well, 2 years Joel Embiid sat out. Ben Simmons sat out a whole season. So, you know, and Fultz, he might sit out this whole year. So that's the thing with them. It's like they're snake bitten. But once they get it all together, I believe that they'll be good.
It's so all about
you. Yeah, I know. Who's the team of your
I'm a Knicks fan.
Hey,
I happen to be a New York Knicks fan.
I love what Porzingis is doing, man.
Porzingis is, you know, he's struggling again, you know. But the injury factor isn't as bad as it was last season, because last season when he went down with injury, that killed it right there. Right now, you know, it's just a day-to-day injury. And he was back last night, and thankfully they won against the Celtics. Thank God.
I know.
So,
that's a big game.
Because I can't stand the Celtics. I really can't. I mean, it looked like they had us. You know, they took it. They got us by 10 points in the second quarter, but we came back and we got them. It kind of reminds me of Christmas Day 85. We were down by 25 points, and we won double overtime by 9 points that game. So it was kind of reminiscent of that game. Oh, boy. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if Porzingis can stay healthy, you know, I think they can go far. Because when you have your top players out, you know, that's a sign right there. Because Hardaway Jr., I don't know what his status is going to be. He could be out for quite some time.
Yeah.
And that's bad enough. So we hope
that's going to hurt
this for too long.
Hey, you know what? The bright spot is Michael Beasley has had a flashback for you guys.
Yeah, Beasley.
He's been balling. Yeah, Michael Beasley has really shown up for you guys, man. I give him that. Him and I like Frank Ntilikina. I mean, I like what he's doing. You know, he's a good defender.
Yeah.
You know, you know, he needs to, you know, score the ball a little more. But as far as defense, he's really good. And then, you know, Lee's going to play defense and knock down threes for you guys. You know, they look a little better without Carmelo. You know, they look better without Carmelo. And I like Carmelo. Carmelo's one of my favorite players. You know, my wife and my brother
but
Carmelo's told me
trouble.
About Carmelo. You say he's trouble. My wife say he's stuck. But I like Carmelo. I always like Carmelo. I like him going back to the Syracuse days. You know, he can't play defense to save his life or rebound, but he'll score.
Well, he got one out of three at least. Oh. And, of course, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought we got cut off. But now I wish I could say the same thing, though, for the Nets. I mean, because even when they get only a few injuries, their season is just, you know, back in the toilet. When Jeremy Lin went down, I'm like, oh, great, here we go again.
Yeah.
Another blow for the Nets. Some teams catch a break no matter what happens. Yeah.
But you know what? So the Nets are playing surprisingly better than everybody thought. Everybody thought they're going to be the dumpster fire, you know. But they're not playing too bad. I mean, you got that.
They could play better.
They could. And I like Jeremy Lin. I honestly believe the Knicks should have kept him instead of letting him go to
definitely,
Houston.
Definitely, yes. I mean, it was a frenzy when he was here for the brief time. And everybody was like, stop the insanity. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I know. But he played well there. And that's what I said. I believe they should have kept him instead of letting him walk to the Knicks. They should have just kept him.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking too. I mean, if he would have stayed on, who knows how good this team would have been now. We could have been, you know, right up there going for the championship maybe. Maybe. I'm not saying different, but maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
It wouldn't be maybe the Cavaliers so much.
So what do you think as far as the Rookie of the Year? Because that's one of the topics I'm talking about. Like, who do you believe
it's a little early to tell.
The Rookie of the Year? It's too early for you?
Yeah, tell me more like in February. I mean, I don't think anybody pays attention around just before Christmas as the season just starts to heat up. But around February, I get more of a better idea.
Who do you like right now as far as rookies?
That's a tough one. I haven't given too much thought about that. Maybe once the new year comes around, I think I'll have a better idea. Right now, you know, just a little bit more of a transition mode. We're coming up on the heart of the season now. So maybe after a couple more weeks, I'll have a better idea on who to get.
Okay. All right. Well, you got any other sports? questions you want to talk about? You a New York guy, so are you a New York Giants fan?
No, my nephew is, but I'm more of a Jet fan.
Oh, man. Well, you, hey,
I know. But hold on, man.
Like
I thought the Jets got a bad rap this year. I really did. I mean, you're like, oh, they'll be lucky to win one game this year because you're the epitome of death when it comes to the NFL. Yeah, okay, I get the point. But you know what? I think maybe you underestimated them a little bit. I mean, they did better than most people expected. They did win five games, which is more than I think what people gave them credit for, because a lot of them say, oh, they're going to win about one game this year if they're lucky. I mean, look, we're not the same as the Cleveland Clowns, thank you very much, okay? We're not that bad.
I agree.
We're not that great, but we're not that bad. I mean, I think in a few years we're gonna, you know, work our way up. So I wouldn't write us off the map.
I agree with that. I actually like Robbie Anderson, man. He's a good receiver that came out of nowhere. I never even heard of that kid. But he's good, and, you know, you still got Bilal Powell.
Again?
Robbie Anderson.
He does sound familiar.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver. He has the funky hairdo. He has,
right.
like, the dread.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, blonde or something. Yeah, yeah. He's
right.
your wide receiver. He's pretty good, man. You need to pay attention to him.
Yeah, we do. And, well, the Bears, of course, I have no faith in either. But my brother, he's a Bears fan through and through. Why? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has their teams that they're loyal to. That's just the way it is.
That's true. He goes back to the days of Sweetness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I grew up a Chicago Bears fan when I was a kid.
So you're from the same era, I guess, huh? As I am.
Yeah, I'm from Northwest Indiana. Yep.
I mean, I'm at the same area that grew up in. You know, because I grew up during the championship era when they won.
Oh yeah. I'm 40, man. So yeah, I'm from that time. Yep.
I'm 47, and yes, I do remember the most embarrassing moment of that year.
What's that?
And you call yourself a Bears fan? You don't know what the most embarrassing moment was?
No, I'm not that hard a Bears fan.
Oh.
I'm actually, I was a kid, man. I was like, what, about 8 years old?
So was my brother.
You know, during those years.
But
yeah.
We all remember the Chicago Bears shuffling crew. Ugh.
Oh, man, the Super Bowl shuffle?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the Super Bowl shuffle. That was, hey, man, that was the theme back then.
Oh,
that wasn't embarrassing.
It was to me. Oh, my goodness.
No, that really wasn't embarrassing, man. Hey, everybody was celebrating. They won the Super Bowl championship and had one of the best defenses of all time.
I'll give you that. And, of course, I had the most ridiculous time of the week and possibly of the year. The XFL was trying to make a comeback. Why?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Why?
I don't know, man. I'm not messing with that.
I mean, look, you failed once before. Nobody cared. So what makes you going to care now, 18 years later? They're not. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of disgruntlement with the NFL and everything, but you know what? That's only going to make it worse because they're going to treat it just the same because this is a step below, and nobody wants to see that. They're all a bunch of washed-up has-beens that couldn't make it in the NFL, so they got to resort to this league. And not for nothing, but so many leagues have failed trying to go up against the NFL, and everybody has failed within 2 to 3 years. Why should this be any different? I don't see anything different.
I agree. We really don't need to see any more He Hate Me's.
Well, I
you
guess
remember
He
him?
Hate Me the sequel.
We probably will. But no, nah, Vince
I know,
McMahon, just stick with wrestling. Vince McMahon needs to just stick with wrestling, and that's it.
I think we
leave the football
to
the NFL.
Yeah. Or if you want to go a step below that, bring back the USFL. No, Trump will kill me on that one.
Yeah, Trump ruined everything. I don't think we need Trump to be doing that. He already doing enough harm in the White House. We don't need him messing
right.
with football too.
Yeah, well, I actually went to a USFL game back in the day.
Oh, really?
I did.
Did you go when Jim Kelly was playing? Did you see his team?
Yes, I think I did. I went to a game where the Herschel Walker was involved in with the New Jersey Generals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's when Herschel was.
I played against Philadelphia that day.
Yeah, Herschel was a stud.
Yeah, but when he went to the NFL, he became a dud.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But wasn't it injuries, though, that kind of, like, derailed his career?
Sometimes that's all it takes. One injury, then it could really set you back. That's all it takes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Depending on the severity.
It happens. Yeah,
I mean,
it happens.
Depends on the severity.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm
all right, man.
All right, that'll be good. Are you once a week or more? How often does
once
the show
a week.
Air? I forget. Once a week on Friday from 6 to 8?
6:30 to 8. And this is my first show back. I actually did my last show in November of 2016, so I took like a little hiatus, and this is my first show back on.
Oh, well,
thank you,
back.
Man, for calling, and yeah, thank you, and feel free to call, man. Yeah, Fridays, I'm gonna do this every Friday from 6:30 to 8, and you know when I did it before, I did it 2 days a week.
I can squeeze in 15 minutes.
All right, that's cool, man.
I can squeeze in 15 minutes of Friday night.
All right, that's cool, man.
All right, and you are?
My name is T Wash, man.
Oh, T Wash.
Yep.
I'll figure out the T stands for later on. All right, T-Man, thanks.
All right, thank you, man.
Right.
All right. That was my first call, and it felt good to have a call. We had a nice, long conversation. See? And that's what I'm talking about. He wasn't even really talking about the rookie of the year like I brought up. He brought up, you know, when I made my point about James Harden, you know, he called in and discussed that. We had a conversation about that, and I told him how I feel about James Harden. So, you know, if you want to call and talk about any type of sports topic, it doesn't have to be the topics that I'm throwing out here. It could be anything pertaining to sports. You know, we can have a conversation about it. So, you know, just hit me up, 1-347-855-8034. And like I said, man, it feels good to be back on these airwaves after my year hiatus. You know, I just want to kick it off right and talk sports, do what I love to do. But I'm going to get back to my rookies. And as far as, like I said, Jason Tatum, he's paying major dividends right now. He's on a team that's leading the East, and he's balling out. He's definitely a focal point of their team. Offensively, defensively, they're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. My other rookie I like a lot that nobody really talking about is this rookie out of Utah named Donovan Mitchell, who went to University of Louisville. And when I watched this cat play at Louisville, I didn't really see it. I mean, honestly, I didn't really see it. This guy gets to Utah, and he balling out. I mean, the dude is averaging 17 a game, 3 boards and 3 assists. He's balling in Utah. He kind of making them forget Gordon Hayward because he's playing that 3 spot. And like I said, I really didn't know that he was that great, but I would put him in a clubhouse for Rookie of the Year. I mean, like I said, right now, I got to give it to Ben Simmons. You know, he keep playing the way he playing, almost averaging triple-double. He's going to get the Rookie of the Year. And another person that I know that's not in the mix that nobody – they talking about him, but I haven't heard his name being mentioned for Rookie of the Year is Kyle Kuzma, Los Angeles Lakers rookie out of Utah. This guy's no joke. I mean, he's playing with no fear. I mean, this guy, he hits clutch shots. He's not afraid of the moment. He plays aggressive, unlike his teammate, Lonzo Ball, who, you know, I was on the Lonzo train. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I believe he's going to come in, and he would be leading for Rookie of the Year right now. The thing I don't like about Lonzo is that he's not aggressive. I mean, honestly, these last 5 games is the most aggressive I've seen Lonzo Ball be. But other than that, he's really not aggressive. He's only shooting like 20-some percent from the field. He shoots like 50% from the free throw line. And that funky shot is not going in the NBA like it did in college. The kid shot 41% from 3-point range in college. But everything else about Lonzo's game is on point. The guy can pass. He's a leader. You know, he's a floor general. He's a 6'6 point guard. And that's kind of the thing that drives me nuts about Lonzo Ball. You're a 6'6 point guard. You got these smaller opposing guards guarding you. man, your funky jump shot not going, drive them to the basket. Take them to the hole. And I really don't understand why he's not taking them to the hole, being 6'6". I mean, truthfully, you could take those smaller guards down into the box and post them up. Do like a little floater over the top of them or something like that. But in my opinion, Kyle Kuzma is the best rookie on that team right now. Another rookie that I like is out of Chicago, Lauri Markkanen, out of Arizona, 7-footer. The kid can shoot. He creates his own shot. He could dribble the ball. He's a good free throw shooter. He could play inside. I mean, he has the total package. He's the total package. And he's averaging basically 14 a game and 7 boards. So, you know, as of right now, those are the top 5 rookies that I like. I mean, if you have a difference of opinion, call in and tell me what you think. 1-347-855-8034. Who do you have as a top-flight rookie in the NBA? Who do you believe is going to win Rookie of the Year? Call me back and let me know what you think about that. All right, I'm about to take a break, and then when I come back, talk some NFL and all these upcoming key matchups that's going to be happening this weekend. There's a lot of playoff implications, so we're going to talk some football after that, after I come back.
Get at Little Steve.
Your man T Wash back in the house. I got another call on the line. Let's see who this is. What's going on? This is Sports Talk with T Wash. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Naj, man. What's good with you?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm all right, man.
All right. What you got for me, man?
What you getting into? Yeah, what you getting into?
Huh? Oh,
yeah,
man, dude, I'm talking about these. What you mean what I'm getting into? I'm talking in these sports, man. I've been talking about who you guys think is going to be Rookie of the Year in the NBA. I was about to get ready to talk about some NFL football and all these playoff implications coming up. I mean, what you got, man? What you want to talk about? That's what this show about, man.
Hey, man,
what you want to talk
show,
about?
Man.
I know.
Show, man. I don't do
okay,
sport,
so,
man. I'm coming to comment.
Okay, so what you got, man? Who's going to be the Rookie of the Year,
Simmons,
man?
Well, Simmons is the Rookie of the Year. That's over. Like, ain't no contest with that. That's already over and done. Like, you can put that on, you know what I mean? You can go and put his name on the trophy and all that stuff. That's over. And that ain't even a contest, honestly.
All right,
fact,
man, you know what?
He may be one of the best rookies we've seen in a while as far as just what he brings to the table. The few flaws that he does have, those are all things that can be corrected and improved on. And
that means
he got a real high ceiling.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've been saying, man. I mean, I got him in the clubhouse right now, too. You know, all he needs to do is just touch up that jump shot. I mean, the dude is a 6'10 LeBron James. That's what he is. He touch up that jump shot, man, it's going to be over. You know, but I got to give some props to these other rookies, too, man. I'm liking what Jason Tatum doing. To me, Jason Tatum is second right now. Jason Tatum is second. He's playing on the playoff team. He's playing on a team that's leading the Eastern Conference right now. And he's a major contributor. I mean, the kid, they created plays for that kid. Kyrie goes to that kid. So, you know, you got to put Jason Tatum up there, too. And then, like I was, you know, saying on my show a few minutes ago, nobody really talking about Donovan Mitchell out of Louisville, out in Utah, and what he doing. This dude averaging 18 a game and 3 boards, man. You know, you got to look at him, too. Give him a little love. And another person who I know you know, I haven't heard of his name being in the mix for rookie of the year, but Kyle Kuzma out of for the Lakers, man. Have you been checking him out? Have you been checking out Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Honestly, if you didn't know the names and all the background and everything else, and you just watched the Lakers, you would think Kuzma was the prospect that they were waiting on to develop into their franchise guy. Like, that's how different that dude looks as far as how polished he is and just the talent that he has. Not saying that Ingram and Ball, you know, as young as they are, we ain't no telling what they're going to be, but Kuzma kid, man, how the hell did they get away with finding him?
I know, man.
Donovan Mitchell, yeah, I agree. Donovan Mitchell is a good player. He's not as good as his average is showing right now because he's playing on a limited team and they're letting him, you know, shoot a lot more than he would on a good team. But, yeah, I would go Tatum. Mitchell's up there, I guess, man. But I guess I'm going Kuzma before him, man, because I like a lot of the things Kuzma can do.
Yeah, me too, man. And like I was saying, man, the kid, he's not afraid of the moment, man. I mean, he takes big shots. He's not scared of the moment. And, you know, I was basically comparing him to Lonzo Ball. Like, Lonzo Ball, I liked him coming out of UCLA. I was on the Lonzo Ball train, man, but he's just not aggressive enough for me. And he's good, you know, and it really doesn't make any sense to me. He's a 6'6 point guard. He has smaller opposing point guards guarding him. Dude, that funky jump shot not going, take their little butts to the basket or take them down in the box. You know, and that's what drives me nuts about Lonzo Ball. And that's why I got to say
Kyle
Kuzma's the better rookie.
Right now, he's got to put on a lot more strength. But he's 19, so that's the good thing about Lonzo. The worst thing that happened for him was all the hype around him, so it made expectations really high. But the reality is, Lonzo is probably going to be Ricky Rubio or maybe a little better than Rubio. But he's not some kind of athletic freak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Damn, man.
I mean,
I really don't want to put him in the Ricky Rubio category, though, man. I think he's going to be better than Ricky, man. I mean, Ricky's a hell of a passer.
Look at what they both can do, though. Look at what they both can do. And tell me how much further outside of what Rubio does can Lonzo do. Like, he's not extremely athletic. He's not super fast. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so there's certain limitations.
Yeah, both of them can't shoot. You're right. Both of them can't shoot. Both of them can't shoot. You're right about
both
that.
Both of them
got,
you know, good vision, good passer, good ball handler. Teams play them under the pick and force them to shoot. And sometimes teams play 4-on-5 against them. So, I mean, some of the same weaknesses he has. But, I mean, those dimes, man. He can push the ball.
Yeah. He can push the ball and throw the dimes. I agree with you, man. Hey, how do you feel about how do you feel about Lauri Markkanen, the big Arizona boy that played for the Bulls? How do you feel about him?
Yeah, he's good. He's the prototypical stretch four. Everything you want in the stretch four, he is. But, man, the dude coming in as a rookie, having back spasms, oh, man, that's scary as hell.
Yeah, that's not good, man. That's not good.
Yeah.
He averaged 14 a game, though. I mean, he playing good for the Bulls. You know, he's a big part of that little 7-game streak they had until Cleveland snapped it. He's a big part of it.
He's everything you want, though, in a stretch four, though, man. As far as, you know, when they're looking for one, he is all of that, man. I like him, but I'm surprised that Chris Dunn is playing so well out there because I just didn't think much of Dunn as a prospect the last few years. And Minnesota kind of pushed him to the bench, and now Dunn is kind of showing with minutes. He's showing he can play.
Well, dude, you know what? Last year, because I haven't been on in a year, man. This is my first show back in a year. And all I did was talk about him last year. I projected him to be rookie of the year last year before that draft because I liked him at Providence, man. He played lockdown D, and he could score. He had feistiness to him, and he's a tough leader. So I messed all up on him, man. You know, so it's good to see him balling now because I thought he was going to be doing that last year.
Right. And, I mean, and again, when you score like that on a bad team, it doesn't mean that you're a future all-star. It does mean is you're going to be at least a 10-year vet and you're going to stick around in the league. So Donovan Mitchell and Chris Dunn, guys like that who are scoring on bad teams, they solidifying their spot. And you got to respect that, man, because you know how hard it is to get in that league and how easy it is to get pushed out that thing, never to return.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah, man. I like both.
All right,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, these rookies, man, it's a nice crop of rookies this year, man. But okay, as far as NFL, man, you know, what you think about these games and all this stuff that's coming up, man? What do you think about these matchups, man? I think that the Seattle and the Cowboy matchup, that's going to be a big one. And the way Seattle looking, man, I got the Cowboys smoking them and basically knocking Seattle out of this playoffs mix, man. What you think?
I mean, I would hope the Cowboys get in because with Zeke coming back, the Cowboys are going to be a harder out than Seattle is because Seattle is kind of like a one-man wrecking crew at this point. The defense is hurt. The offensive line is not good, so Russell's just out there pulling off miracles. So I don't want to see them go to the playoffs and get beat down. And, man, people got to respect Russell Wilson, man. That dude, like, he's a lot better than people thought he was. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm leaning more towards Cowboys on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's a lot of things going on, man. All these playoff implications. You know, the Rams basically got a chance to sew up the division if they beat the Titans, and the Titans fighting for, you know, that last playoff spot in the AFC. So it's like, man.
Yeah,
because
AFC is, woof. Man, that AFC is mediocre. You got Pittsburgh, New England, and everything else is just like, yeah, whatever. And honestly, Tennessee, I hope they lose because their coach should be fired. They need a whole regime change in there. They are wasting the talents of Marcus Mariota, playing him in that run-heavy power offense instead of having him play in what he's actually comfortable with, what he's good at, spreading the ball around, you know, making plays in space. So, yeah, he's in the wrong offense, man. It's sad to see that.
I agree, man. I agree with that. I mean, I like DeMarco Murray and, you know, I like that. Well, I really can't say I like him too much because I haven't seen that much of him. But I liked him in college when he's at Western Michigan. That Corey Davis, that top receiver they got with the, like, number 5 pick, he was good in college.
Yeah.
And I picked him up in my fantasy thinking he's going to – I know, man. I picked him up in my fantasy thinking he's going to give me something. The kid ain't gave me nothing, man.
Yeah, man. He's one of the worst dudes, too, in that sense because you draft him so high that you got to hold on to him in your mind. And you're like, I don't want to drop him right when he make that breakout. But, man, we waited all season, and he never really broke out.
I know, never did anything, man. And like you said, they really not utilizing the talents of Marcus Mariota. So I completely agree with you as far as Tennessee, you know, making the whole regime change.
Think about that. Was it Tate Jones and Corey Davis? We're like 4-5 or something like that in that draft?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man, if they could do that draft over, boy, those two receivers are falling way down the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. What do you think about the Saints, man, in Carolina, man?
Well, I mean, it's a 3-team race. Somebody's going to be left on the outside, maybe with 10 wins in the NFC South. So I just want to see how it goes. Either New Orleans, I think, is going to steamroll Atlanta and run the ball down their throat, or we're going to see a Julio game and they ruin the Saints, you know, great season that they had. By Poppy, that's one of the best rivalries in sports, Saints ATL, just because, you know, the familiarity between the two populations, man. Like, they, good or bad or historically bad, they've always, you know, kind of really respected that particular rivalry, man. There's a lot of people from up here going down for the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Kamara,
man.
They
ready. They got buses and everything.
Kamara ain't no joke, man. I don't know what they're going to do with Alvin Kamara, though. And honestly, the Falcons are still, you know, the Falcons still shook from that Super Bowl, man. They haven't been right all season, in my opinion. I mean, I believe they still shook.
You got to think about it, though. Matt Ryan has never played as good as he did last year, so you had to expect him to kind of regress back to the norm. So that's kind of what you're seeing. So this year he's been underwhelming, and, you know, they got a few people nicked up throughout the season, but no matter what, man, you can't expect Matt Ryan to go 45 tons or whatever it was last year.
Yeah.
Like, yo, okay, that's cool and all, but, man, Matt Ryan ain't one of those dudes. He's that second
tier
of good quarterbacks.
He lost his offensive coordinator, too, man, and that hurts, you know. Losing Shanahan
in
San Francisco hurts, too.
What, 10-year veteran? Like, come on, man. I mean, I understand the OC, losing your OC hurts, but damn, bro.
Yeah, but think about it. I agree with that. But think about it. He never really had that success until Shanahan got there. Kyle Shanahan got there. That's when he had that blow up season. Before that, he didn't have that type of offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but that dude has always been blessed with weapons, man. So I'm hard on Matt Ryan because a lot of people out here make a lot of excuses for him. He came into the league as a rookie with Michael Turner in the backfield and Roddy White as his number one. Then they bring in Tony Gonzalez. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and then they draft Julio. He's had weapons all the time. He just hasn't gotten it done, man. Like, I hate to say it, but me, that's what it is.
I agree, man.
Make over $150 million as a QB, man, you got to take the shots, too.
Yeah, you got to do something. I agree with you. And that Saints running game, man, it's going to give the Falcons defense a hard time, man. I mean, you got Ingram and Kamara, man. And both of them boys putting in work this year. And then you got Michael Thomas on the outside, you know, putting in work. I mean, Drew Brees, man, you know he's slinging that ball in that dome.
Sean Payton deserves respect for this season. Drew Brees doesn't have the weapons downfield that he normally has, but they drafted a lineman, they got cohesion on that line together, and they're using the two backs and running the ball instead. And, you know, Drew Brees' numbers are way down, but they're actually winning because they're going to the strength of their team. And Mark Ingram might have a better game than Kamara tomorrow because everybody's so terrified of Kamara coming out the backfield, catching passes and things. Ingram starts gashing you, and you know what I mean, running inside.
Yeah. And that defense, man, the Saints defense, because, you know, they for years, man, they've had, like, the worst defense in the league. And, you know, the addition of Marcus Lattimore, dude, Lattimore completely helped revamp that whole defense, man. Lattimore be shutting people down.
Yeah, when he fought him at, like, 11 or something like that in the draft.
Yeah.
That kid should have been a top five pick, man.
Man,
that's one of the best corners I've ever seen.
Yes, he is, man. He's up there with, like, when Marcus Peters first came in for the Chiefs. That's what he kind of remind me of. He kind of remind me of Marcus Peters. Yeah, that kid,
now,
man.
Now, he don't make as many plays as Marcus Peters, but he don't give up as many plays as Marcus
Peters.
We know Marcus Peters is a gambling dude. Like, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he gonna try to get that pick.
Sometime, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Going for Well, yeah, I'm with you on that, man. That kid is good, man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, there's
man.
A lot of mistakes made in this draft.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm liking
you holding it down. Good, this is good. It's hard to do these shows all the time and still have your life, your workload, your everything else you got going on. It's hard to keep doing and putting this grind in where you're scripting your own show, recording all of that. So respect to you for coming back and putting in the work, man. So you know, thanks
oh yeah,
for
man,
me
thank
on,
you, man.
But
hey,
so
no problem, do A.
Because I know about this, man.
All right.
Put
yeah, Fridays, man.
Stuff, man.
Feel free to call me, man. Fridays, dude. 6:30 to 8, man. I'll be on every Friday. So feel free to call in whenever you want to talk, man.
All right, will do, man. You hold it down, bro.
All right, thank you, man. You have a good one.
All right.
All right. All right, man. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, nice. Good conversations, man. We went off into football. We talked about the rookies. You know, we did some hollering about sports. So that's what I'm saying. If you guys want to call and talk about anything, man, give me a hit. 1-347-855-8034. 1-347-855-8034. You want to talk about these sports, man? Talk about what's going on in the NFL right now. Talk about what's going on in the NBA. I mean, that's what I'm here for. We could have some fun talking about it. We could debate, whatever. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to talk about another important game, at least in my eyes. You know, I have to be biased, you know, here because this is my football team that I root for. You know, 25-plus year fan of the New England Patriots. And they're going to be taking on the Buffalo Bills this weekend. And I'm going to be real with you guys. I want the Pats to sit Rob Gronkowski out because of that issue that Rob Gronkowski, when he was a bonehead and rammed his elbow into Tre'Davious White's neck and got suspended. You know, Tre'Davious White put a tweet out there saying that the whole hood after him. So I really don't want to risk Rob Gronkowski getting injured and getting taken out for the season you know, because that's going to screw up the Patriots season if that happens. So I really don't want Belichick to play Rob this weekend. But I got another call, so let's see who this is calling. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's going on?
Oh, hey. Hi, T-Wash. This is Shalonda, and I am calling from Racine, Wisconsin. I was listening to your show, and you said something like negative about Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so I'm pretty defensive, right? Lonzo Ball, yes, he's a rookie, but he just needs some more time. I mean, actually, I think he's doing an awesome job if you look at the kid. There was a lot of hype about him when he first came out, like when he was in college and everything. And so, you know, I wasn't really convinced. But then I started watching his college games toward the end of the season, and he really impressed me as a guy with a lot of basketball knowledge. And now that he's in the league, I mean, he has, what, 3 triple-doubles? I mean, who has done that in the history of basketball? What rookie has made, you know, 3 triple-doubles before an all-star game?
Well, Shalonda, you have a point, and no rookie has done that in NBA history. And I give Lonzo his props for that. But my issue with Lonzo, because I like Lonzo, too, when he's at UCLA. I was on the, like I said before, I was on the Lonzo Ball train. You know, I'm still rooting for him. I just don't like that Lonzo Ball is not aggressive. Now, these last 5 or 6 games, he's been aggressive. And I hope he continues to do that for the remainder of the season. But my issue with him is, okay, you're 6'6". The opposing point guards guarding you are more than likely going to be smaller than you. Your funky jump shot is not going. Drive them little dudes to the hole and get easier buckets for your team. Or draw and kick. Draw in the defense, kick out to an open teammate like Kyle Kuzma, who is the top rookie on that Lakers team right now. Kick out to him.
I don't think you can question his assist because he does that. I mean, every game you can see Lonzo passing the ball. He's very generous with it. So I don't see any, you know, slack as far as his assist game. Now,
he
is a little hesitant to make the jump shot. And, you know, I think that's going to come with time. You know what I mean? I think he's just – I don't want to say he's under a lot of pressure because I don't know. But there is a lot of expectations for Lonzo. But I think in due time, he's going to be really big unless his dad, you know, is kind of, you know, pressuring him or whatnot. But once he – give him a couple more years, I think he's going to be fine.
You know what? I agree with you, Shalonda. I think he will be fine. Like I said, I guess – his dad put so much pressure on him, the whole world is expecting him to come in and ball right off the back, you know, and that's the issue. You know, I agree with you, you know, but I guess the thing that bothers me is that, like I said, you have smaller guards guarding you. Be aggressive. That's my only issue with Lonzo Ball, is that he's not aggressive. Sometimes he walks the ball up the court, passes a teammate, goes stands off in the corner. You know, it's like, dude, you're the facilitator of the offense. Magic brought you in there to basically be the leader of the new Showtime era. Push the ball. Run it. Be aggressive. You have somebody smaller than you guarding you, take them to the bucket. Your jump shot's not going. It's like all he does is shoot jumpers, and it's not going. It's like if it's not going, go to the basket. Get the easier shot. So that's really the only issue I have with Lonzo. But I love the game, and yes, he is the only rookie in NBA history to have 3 triple-doubles. I agree with you. You know, you made some great points, Shalonda. Like I said, I guess I could ease off on Lonzo a little bit, but that's my gripe, is that he's not aggressive like he should be, especially being a 6'6 point guard who could see over most of the guys guarding him on a nightly basis.
Yeah, okay. I guess I agree with you, but my point is he's just a baby. Give him a little more time. I think he's going to be just right. But thank you. I enjoy listening to your show, and thank you.
All right, Shalonda, call back anytime. I'll be doing the shows on Fridays, 6:30 to 8. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, T-Wash. Bye.
All right, that was Shalonda. I have another call on the line. Let's see who this is.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Naptown. What's up?
What's going on, Gary? How you doing?
Not much, man. I just heard y'all talk about Lonzo Ball for what seemed like an hour. If it's not him, his brother is dead. Oh, my God, man. Can we give that family a rest? I think I can talk a long time about them, but I'd rather talk about, like, Donovan Mitchell and the other good rookies in the league this year. I recently had a chance to see him play LeBron in Cleveland, and he's pretty good, man. I think he should be, you know, high on that rookie of the year list. And, of course, Ben Simmons, but I don't personally don't consider Ben Simmons a rookie. I mean, but he's nice, too, so he's going to be one of the future stars of the league, along with the Greek Freak. But, yeah, we should talk about other rookies. And I also wanted to get your thoughts on – I didn't hear most of the show. I'm just hearing it now. I wanted to get your thoughts on that Jesse James touchdown that was recalled in that Patriots-Pittsburgh game. So if I'll just hang up and hear you talk about that.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And I will definitely spread that information for you.
All right.
All right. Well, as far as the rookie, I do agree with you. Donovan Mitchell is in my top three. As of right now, I have Ben Simmons in the clubhouse as the rookie of the year until, you know, somebody drastically changes my mind. Second, I got Jason Tatum just because of what he's doing. I mean, he has a good all-around game. The kid is shooting 50% from the three-point line, man. He's on a winner. He's on a winning team that's number one in the East right now. Kyrie actually defers to him. Kyrie actually looks for this kid and gives him the rock and lets him take shots. So, you know, Jason Tatum has to be second. Donovan Mitchell, he's my third, you know, because the kid, he's averaging like 18 a game, three boards. And like I said earlier in the show, I never noticed this kid had this type of game at Louisville. I really didn't see this at Louisville from him. I mean, he's like an average player. I didn't even think he was an NBA-type player because I didn't see – I mean, he might have had a couple athletic dunks here and there at Louisville, but I didn't see nothing that would warrant him being a first-round draft pick like he was, you know. So he's really shocked me, you know, being in the NBA and balling the way he is in Utah. It's almost like he's making Utah forget about Gordon Hayward, you know, especially since he's playing that position. Now, as far as the New England Patriot-Pittsburgh game, oh, boy. You know, I'm going to be real. You know, I know most of the people who listen to my show and who listen to it in the past know that I am a diehard New England Patriot fan. Been a diehard New England Patriot fan for over 25 years. And I've always been the type, I'm not like these Boston fans who think the Patriots could do no wrong and all this stuff. No, I've always been the type to call it like I see it. And in my opinion, after I was so pissed off that they allowed Juju Smith-Schuster to get 69 yards down the field and not make a dang on tackle, then, you know, the next play, Ben throws it to Jesse James, touchdown. Jesse James turned around and immediately dove down. I mean, his knee actually went down at the one, but he wasn't touched by anybody. And he extended the ball over the plane. I've always been taught that once the ball crosses the plane, it's a touchdown. It doesn't matter if the ball come out of your hand or anything. So he crossed the plane with the ball, and the ball hit the ground and bobbled. And that rule sounds funny to me, you know, that they said he didn't survive the ground. I never heard of that before. I never heard of that rule. I never heard of that rule in any other game. Even when this mess started with these catch situations with Calvin Johnson in Chicago, I never heard him say Calvin Johnson didn't survive the ground, and that's the reason why they overturned it. So, you know, like I said, I'm a diehard Patriot fan. You know, we got lucky. I'm glad we won. But Spurs really won that game because that was a touchdown, in my opinion. He crossed the plane. It should have been a touchdown. And if not a touchdown, it should have at least been down at the one because his knee hit the ground at the one. But like I said, he wasn't touched. He wasn't touched until he had already crossed the plane. That's when the defender touched him. He already crossed the plane. So at worst, you know, it was, you know, like I said, it was a touchdown. But they could have brought it back to the one-yard line, you know, rather than just taking the touchdown completely away. At least put it at the one-yard line. So that's my take on, you know, the Pittsburgh-New England game. I believe Pittsburgh won the game. It was a touchdown. And like I said, I call it like I see it. I'm a diehard Patriot fan. I call it like I see it. It was a touchdown. Patriots got lucky. Now I'm going to go back to this Patriot-Bills game like I was saying, you know, before I got another call. I really hope Bill Belichick don't play Rob Gronkowski because I'm kind of nervous. I believe that the Bills are going to take Rob, try to take Rob out. And if they take him out and he gets hurt, you know, seriously, that's going to be the end of the Patriots season because there's Julian Edelman this time around. I mean, granted, they won the Super Bowl last year off of a great 25-point comeback, by the way. They won the Super Bowl last year, you know, without Gronkowski. But they had Julian Edelman, Tom Brady's binky. They don't have Tom Brady's binky, Julian Edelman, this year to get all that stuff going across the middle, get the little option routes and all that good stuff that Julian Edelman do. So they need Gronk to stay healthy this whole season. And if Gronk stay healthy this whole season, I believe the Patriots will get right back to the Super Bowl again. The only team I fear coming to Foxborough and beating the Patriots, if they get in the playoffs, and I hope they don't, is the Baltimore Ravens. Because the Baltimore Ravens have come up there twice and beat them in the playoffs in Foxborough. The Baltimore Ravens are the team that's physical enough, and they're not scared of Tom Brady or Bill Belichick or that Foxborough mystique. They're not afraid of it. Baltimore can come up there and win. Joe Flacco turns into an all-world quarterback when the playoffs start. All he needs to do is get in. So, truthfully, Baltimore is the one team I don't want to see. And earlier, while I was talking about the Cowboys and the Seahawks, this is a do-or-die game for both of these teams. Both of these teams need to win. Seattle's kind of on the downslide right now. I mean, Todd Gurley literally ran them out of their own building last year, and that's like the toughest place to play. Todd Gurley had a field day. This man had 4 touchdowns, 152 yards rushing. He even had a receiving touchdown. I mean, Todd Gurley went to seeing Seattle get destroyed like that in their building. And now, you know, you got Ezekiel Elliott coming back off his first, you know, coming back for his first game. I think he's going to run wild on Seattle too. I mean, it may not be as bad as Todd Gurley because he has to get his body in game shape. You know, he's been out and he's rested. But his body's not going to be in football shape. So I don't expect him to run wild like Todd Gurley. But I do see Ezekiel Elliott getting at least 100 because that offensive line is like, you know, they make giant holes for Ezekiel Elliott. He could just run through at will. But that's going to be a big game. Both teams need to win because right as of right now, both teams are out of the playoffs. You know, those last wild card spots belong to Carolina and Atlanta right now. And Atlanta has a big game coming up with the Saints down in New Orleans in that Mercedes-Benz Dome. That's going to be a tough one. You know, the Falcons got to win. Or they're going to be one of those teams that make the Super Bowl and then don't make the playoffs next year. And, you know, like I was telling my previous caller, I believe that the Falcons still shook from that Super Bowl loss, man. I mean, just imagine. You up, what? 28-3, and you blow it. You blow it. You know, and I blame their owner Arthur Blank for coming down to the field before the game was over, celebrating. They showing the camera on him. He all happy. Him and his wife dancing, and then it just was messed up because they kept showing them every time the Patriots would score and they would come back. They kept putting the camera over on him and his wife, and they got concerned looks on their face, and it's like, man. You jinxed it. You should stay it up in your, you know, your expensive box. You should stay it up in that box and just root your team from there instead of coming down the field like you knew the game was over. You know, and I believe that the Falcons are still shook from that. That's why they haven't been looking right. And you got the Jaguars. Man, that's another team that stopped sleeping on as far as defense. I don't know about Blake Bortles, man. You know, when the playoffs start, I don't know. This team hasn't been in the playoffs in years. So I don't know how Blake Bortles is going to perform. You know, they have a playoff spot, so that's good. Congratulations, Jacksonville, for getting a playoff spot for the first time in, about 10 years. But they got a tough one. And I'm going to say it's tough because they got to play against my boy Jimmy G. And I regret that the Patriots let him go. I mean, because truthfully, and I tell a lot of people, honestly, I wanted Jimmy to be the starter next year. And, you know, I know this might be blasphemous to some people, you know, like if Boston people listen to me right now, this might be blasphemous, but I wanted Brady to go next year, man. I wanted, I was hoping that the Pats would win this year. And then, you know, even though Brady's saying he wants to stay, release him. Release him next year. You know, out of respect, let him choose his team he want to go to and let Jimmy take over. Because I knew Jimmy was going to be good. I mean, I remember seeing him, you know, when he's at Eastern Illinois. And when he came in the league, you could just see the flashes that the dude was good. Look what he's doing with San Francisco. San Francisco was a dumpster fire. I mean, they 3-0 with him in the lineup. And they looking good. Jimmy took them down last week and beat Tennessee with a game-winning field goal by Robbie Gould. Drove him down the field in three plays. I mean, you tell me Jimmy Garoppolo isn't good. And I just wish he would have stayed. I mean, I wish they would have kept him. But I think that was a Robert Kraft decision because, you know, when I do listen to the Boston radio stations, word is that Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo because he wanted to prove that he can win without Brady. And I think that he would have. And, you know, it would really suck if Tom Brady get hurt because if he get hurt, I mean, you got Brian Hoyer as your backup now. I mean, come on, man. Brian Hoyer. Season's done if Brian Hoyer gets in the game. Whereas if Jimmy would have gotten the game, I believe Jimmy's good enough to at least get you to the AFC Championship. But nah, he's gone, man. And I think he's going to put a scare in Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville defense is good. I mean, you got Boyer, you got Ramsey at the corners. I mean, you got Calais Campbell, you got Malik Jackson. I mean, that Jacksonville defense is no joke. And this is going to be the toughest defense that Jimmy have to face. But I root for Jimmy every week, man. And I'm rooting for him this week to do it again. But Pittsburgh, you know, they have to worry about Jacksonville because they're right there. They trying to get that bye. The Pats do too. Pats can't sleep on Buffalo because as of right now, Buffalo's in that last playoff spot in the AFC. So Buffalo got something to play for. So this is not going to be no pushover game for the Pats against the Bills. And that's what I'm saying. This is the time of the year where football becomes really beautiful because you got a lot of playoff implications. You got a lot of teams fighting to try to get those last two spots, those last wild card spots. You know, you got they going to Houston to take on the Texans. And, of course, you know, I'm rooting for the Steelers to lose just in case that the Pats lose to the Bills. You know, I want to have that number one seed. I want to have that bye because the Patriots, you know, if they get a bye, there's a good chance they're going to the Super Bowl if they get that first round bye. You know, not too many teams come into Foxborough and win, you know, like I said, besides Baltimore. And that's why I don't want to see Baltimore in the playoffs because Baltimore is not scared. You know, the Steelers, I don't think they could beat the Patriots in Foxborough. I think their best shot is in Pittsburgh. But I think they're going to beat the Texans. I mean, Texans don't have anything to play for, and they got Tom Savage at their quarterback. I mean, they lost their rookie of the year, and he will be rookie of the year, Deshaun Watson. I mean, the season he had before he got his leg toe up, I mean, it was amazing, you know. So, like I said, as of right now, man, your seeds in the AFC are the Pats at the number one seed. You got the Steelers. You got the Jags at three. You got the Chiefs at four. You got the Titans at five. And you got the Bills at the sixth seed. And the NFC, you got the Eagles at that number one spot right now. But I think the Vikings might catch them. It all depends on if Nick Foles keep performing. You know, they got to play Oakland Monday night. I mean, they should win that. But you never know. You know, I don't have much faith in Nick Foles when it matters the most. And that's why I don't think the Eagles are going to make it to the Super Bowl. I think the Vikings are going to make it to the Super Bowl because their defense, I mean, their defense kind of reminds you of Jacksonville. I mean, they're strong. Their front seven is strong, and their back end is strong. It's like, man, then on offense, Case Keenum, of all people, Case Keenum has him afloat. He doesn't have to do much because he has that defense to protect him. You know, just like Blake Bortles. And it's kind of crazy because it's like, who would you take, Blake Bortles or Case Keenum? I don't know. It's kind of like I would flip a coin, you know. Both of them are playing well right now, though. But will they be able to do this in the playoffs? But I believe that Minnesota Viking defense is so strong. We might have the first team to host a home Super Bowl game. Minnesota, you know, if Minnesota get that home field, they won't have to leave the building all the way through to the Super Bowl. And that would be a story on its own, man. That would be a big story. And so you got the Vikings at the number two seed, the Eagles at the one. You got the Rams at the three. And I like the Rams. You know, Jared Goff, he was picked as a bust, but we see he's not. He got that new coach, Sean McVay, who's turned him into a Pro Bowler, basically. I mean, Todd Gurley had a great rookie year. Last year was horrible for him, and now he's back on track. He's looking like he looked when he was at University of Georgia. Todd Gurley's balling out. And that Rams team, I think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs. But I don't think that they're good enough to beat a Vikings team. I mean, Vikings already beat them. I don't know if they'll be able to go into Minnesota and win. And you have the Saints at that four spot, you know, as of right now. You know, all these could change. You know, starting tomorrow, these positions could change. So next 2 weeks, you know, we don't know how these seeds are going to be. Nothing's sold up. You know, some of these seeds usually would be sold up by now. And that tells you how competitive of an NFL season we've had this year. With the Saints, I mean, you know Drew Brees, you know he's going to do his thing, and their defense is actually good. The Saints' defense is normally bad, but they're good this year. And then you got the Panthers and Cam Newton. You know Cam's always dangerous just because of the simple fact he can run the ball. And he got Greg Olsen back now. That's going to boost their team. Devin Funches. You know, he's played a lot better since they traded Kelvin Benjamin to the Bills. Devin Funches has played a lot better. He's the top receiver on the team now. And then Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he's making a push for Rookie of the Year. You know, I would give it to Deshaun Watson. In my opinion, Christian McCaffrey would be number two as far as Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, that guy, he runs a lot of plays. They run a lot of plays for that kid. I mean, he runs it, he catches it out the backfield, and he makes a lot of things happen for that offense. And then you got the Falcons in that last spot. And like I said, I believe they're shook. They haven't let go of the Super Bowl. And like I said, that would be hard to, you know, just forget. I mean, how could you just forget that you had a 28-3 lead and blew it? So that's what's hurting the Falcons right now. But, you know, I can't wait for – you know, these playoffs to start and we see where it go. You know, of course, hopefully the Patriots win it all again. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And it's just funny, you know, that we got all these people out here that hate the Patriots so much. You know, they just win, man, you know. Everybody say they cheat. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been some fishy stuff, you know. I still always believe that Tom Brady had that guy deflate the balls. I believe that. You know, but there's other quarterbacks that do that. And every NFL team do something to break the rules. Unfortunately, Patriots just be the dumb ones that get caught most of the time. But, I mean, it's a lot of things out here, you know, a lot of advantages that teams, you know, try to get over other teams. You know, and like I said, you know, as far as these NBA rookies, you know, keep your eye on Ben Simmons. I believe he's going to keep it going as far as, like, almost averaging a triple-double. Jason Tatum will continue to do what he's doing. And I wouldn't be shocked if Boston get the number one seed again like they had last year. I mean, it really didn't matter last year because Cleveland, you know, beat them anyway. But without Gordon Hayward, and that's what really makes this amazing about the Boston Celtics, that they're doing this without Gordon Hayward, who got hurt the very first game of the season. He got hurt. And, you know, that forced Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Tatum, it forced all those guys to step their game up. You know, these young players, they had to step their game up because they lost Gordon Hayward. And they basically haven't missed a beat. And Kyrie has done what he said. Kyrie said he basically said he wanted his own team. He wanted to be out of LeBron James' shadow. And look what he's doing, man. He went to Boston. He's leading the team. He's a leader. He's guiding them to the best record in the East so far before the All-Star break. I mean, he's looking good. Kyrie's, you know, when the game's on the line, he's that closer like he was in Cleveland with LeBron. LeBron wasn't the closer. Kyrie was. And that's what he's doing in Boston, man. Kyrie's doing his thing. And he's leading these young boys, you know, to where they need to be. And it's crazy because he's still young. He's only like 25 years old. Jaylen Brown, about 20. Tatum, what, 18 or 19? Marcus Smart, about 24. I mean, dude, the oldest person on their team is Al Horford. Everybody else is young. You know, so imagine if Gordon Hayward was playing. Man, the Celtics would, I don't know. I almost want to say the Celtics would beat the Cleveland in the seven-game series if Gordon Hayward was healthy. You know, but I can't say that because, you know, as long as LeBron James is in the East, they're going to come out the East. And then, you know, they haven't got Isaiah Thomas back yet. And, you know, we really need to see what he's going to be like. Because once Isaiah Thomas get back, then we get to know how good Cleveland can really be. But I really don't – I don't think he's going to be that Isaiah that was in Boston last year that averaged like 30 points a game. You know, it's too many scores on Cleveland for him to average 30. I mean, you got Kevin Love playing like he did when he's in Minnesota. He's averaging a double-double. You know, then you got D-Wade leading that second unit off the bench. He's balling. You got Jeff Green. He can score the ball. You know, LeBron, you know, he don't have to score, but you know he will. You know, so Cleveland, man, I mean, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard for Boston to beat them in the seven-game series. But when it's all said and done, Golden State's going to win. I don't see nobody beating Golden State in the seven-game series. Spurs have the best shot. Maybe they could do it. You know, it depends on how Kawhi Leonard ball. And it depends on if LaMarcus Aldridge don't disappear. Because he disappeared in the playoffs last year, too, you know, against the Warriors. So, you know, we have to see how that goes. This is something that I do, too. I used to do on my old show, but I always give, like, a sports event that happened on this day, like in the history of this day. So, on this day, December 22nd in 1969, this legend, man, he was a legend. One of the best passers I've ever seen, you know, I'm going to be real, one of the best white guys I ever seen ball, man. And Jason White Chocolate Williams was the new version of him. But on this day, December 22nd, 1969, Pete Maravich made an NCAA record when he was at LSU, 30 of 31 free throws. I mean, this dude made 30 of 31 free throws. And that's still an NCAA record. I mean, Pistol Pete had days, man, where he would hit 60-some points like nothing. I think he even had a couple seasons where he averaged like 40, 45 points. And then he could pass the ball, too, on top of that. Pistol Pete was no joke, you know, back in the day. One of the best white players I've ever seen. I wish I could have seen him play in person, but White Chocolate, Jason Williams, was like the closest thing to him as far as passing the ball. He passed with that type of flair. And then it's like, man, imagine if Pistol Pete was playing with a three-point shot back then. That dude probably would have averaged about 70 points a game, man. But all in all, today it was a good show. I want to thank all the people who called me. It was good to be back on again. And I'm looking forward to doing this, you know, for the foreseeable future. Every Friday from 6:30 to 8 on the air. And, you know, like I said, this is going to be the type of show where I'll throw out some topics, you know, and discuss those. But feel free to call in, you know, and talk about whatever type of sports you want. If you have some topics, you know, if you have some things you want to talk about pertaining to sports, then we can do that. We could discuss it. We could debate it. You know, it don't matter. And that's what this show is here for. It's a sports show for people who love talking sports like I do. And like I said, once again, I want to thank you all for calling. Thank you to the callers who called. Looking forward to having more calls from you guys. Feel free to call me. The number is 1-347-855-8034. Write it down. So you can call me next Friday, 1-347-855-8034. Once again, thank you. And I have a little something that I used to say on my last show, and I think I'll continue that on, you know, with this show. And that's this little quote that I wrote. And it's basically, sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without them? Once again, thank you. Number is 1-347-855-8034. Looking forward to hearing to you guys next week. Thank you.